cut those lights down a little. You know, it's amazing what Jesus has truly done for us. When the world thought that they had killed him, that it was all over, they forgot something. You'll hear that story this Friday also, because you see, they might have put him on the cross on Friday, but Sunday is a coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Amen. That first step on. As God looks to our heart, he looks to our whole being. Let me tell you a story. It was a time in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, never been a time that they've ever been separated. Except for one. That's this week. Never since before time or after time began had there ever been a separation of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, until Jesus walks into Jerusalem. That first Easter. Let me tell you something about love that all of you already know. Of all the attributes that you have, love is the most painful. You hear me? Love is the most painful attribute you have. Anybody who's ever loved knows how painful it is. When someone goes away that you love, when someone leaves you, when someone deserts you, when someone is separated from you, that hurt that you feel is love. Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had decided that you and I were going to exist. We would be the only created of God's creation that would be given the freedom of choice. I am creating the earth and all that exists for the human race. I love. So God so loved us that from heaven he had already decided that each one of us individual, yes, he knew your name. He knew you. Before time existed. And the Bible says he loved us. Really? You mean he loved me before he ever met me? There has not been a time. There has not been a time, pay attention, that Jesus has not known you. He knew you before you were you. Now, I've got the order set. That's the way God does it. God said, I'm going to give them life. And in this life, I'm going to offer them a great, great gift. The gift and the ability to receive my love, says God, and to love me back. That's called reciprocation. To reciprocate with love. God loves me and gives me the ability to love him back. But he says, I give you the freedom also not to. Oh. Folks, it does not work for you to go up to an individual to say, you're the biggest sinner I've ever seen. And slap them upside the head. And I don't want to hurt my Bible. So slap them upside the head with your Bible and said, you need to get saved. That is not the way to witness. You got me? Because you see, salvation is a choice of the heart. It's a conviction of the heart. The real you that is in there is your heart, your spirit. God says, I love you. Larry, when you come to me, you'll be spirit, and don't you worry. I'm giving you a new body. You'll have a spiritual body. You'll have a resurrected body. So get to work for me while you're down there in that broken body. That's the story. And it started because of love. Well, let me read that love story. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you do know that the scripture says, and you just heard it on the screen, and Jesus died. You remember that? Jesus died. Listen to me, Christian. You will never die. The scripture says Jesus died. So you and I will pass. We pass on. We pass over. That's the term you need to be using on a fellow Christian. They passed on. They've passed over. But because Jesus died, that's the great story, I will never have to see death. Oh, you will see this body and you'll say, that body's dead and it surely stinketh. But I got news for you. I got news for you. I ain't there to hear it. I've gone on. God says, that's how much I love you. I'm going to take death to where you'll never have to suffer it. You see, if Jesus had not died on that cross, then he could not have conquered death. That's the reason he died. He died to conquer death so the ones he loves will never have to see death. What a story. And that's just the beginning. Ain't it awesome? It's a story about the truth about your life forever. Your life forever. Oh, we're going to be with each other a long time. I'm so happy that we started loving each other right here.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Practice love. Practice care. Practice concern. Practice while you're down here. Because you see, eternal life awaits us just right around the bend. There'll be no practicing then. It'll be experiencing. And all the practicing is over. Then you will be living. You know, have you ever said, you know, this is the life? Just because you got a break on a weekend or you got 2 hours off that day. Man, this is the life. No, but you got a good one coming. Now listen to me. Why did there have to be a last week for Jesus as flesh and blood? Because a physical body cannot enter heaven. Our bodies are broken. Our bodies are sinful. And nothing sinful can come in the presence of God. So there had to be the last week. Because Jesus had to take care of our sinful condition. He never sinned. I declare to you, brothers, 1 Corinthians 15:50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It's a declaration. But God wants us with him. He created us for love. And he wants us to be in his eternal love. And the only way we can do that is to pass over, pass on from this body. So why do we weep, Pastor, when we have a loved one that goes on, when we know that? Does it hurt me any less knowing that that individual stepped into heaven rather than in hell? Oh, I'm proud of that fact. But I hurt. Why? Because that face, that personality, no matter how rugged it is, that I'm going to miss. It hurts because you didn't want to leave. You didn't want them to leave because you love. All love hurts so bad. Because you love. Because God loves us, He sent His Son as flesh and blood to experience and conquer life, death, and sin. He loved me. So therefore, I take it personal. He came to experience and conquer my life, my death, and my sin. Take it personal. That's the reason He came. That's the reason there had to be that last week. He had to walk in. He walked through a crowd of a bunch of phonies. Oh, they were praising, "Lord, save us now." But later on, a lot of them were saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him. He's causing us too much trouble." Do you know love's trouble? It's hard. It's hard work. Can you imagine how much work it takes for my wife to love me for 55 years?
Lord have mercy.
Lord, that's right, Brother Randy. Think of it. But that's love. It's supposed to hurt. That's proof that you're human. That's proof that you got a touch of God in you. I've seen people that don't love. You don't want to be around those people. The most vile people I'd ever dealt with. 41 years I served as chaplain in the prison and jail system of the state of Kentucky. 41 years. Seeing some of the hardest core criminals in the country. And folks, I know mean and I know bad. But whatever frightened me, and the only thing that did was not how bad they were, not how mean they were, but how evil some were. So evil, they couldn't love and they refused to accept love. You cry over love. It breaks your heart. It slows you down. It rocks your world. Lord, how could something so beautiful, known as love, be so painful? Hang in there. Hang in there. Because one day, too, you will have the privilege of stepping over to the ultimate of love. Not just that He loves me. He loved me a love to take my sins and count me as not guilty. And to love me to the point that He would give His all. His whole human existence was given for you and me individually. Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's us. Hebrews 4, 15. For we do not have a high priest. Woo! Listen to this. A high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Don't you see the importance of that cross? Your sin was nailed to that cross. You're taken care of. That's love, or you don't know how bad I've been. I don't care how bad you've been. I know how good Jesus is.
Praise the Lord.
Romans 5, 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, That's God's time. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You got that? The ungodly is as bad as it gets. Jesus died for as bad as it gets. So therefore, you don't have to be as bad as it gets. When you say yes to Jesus, you are experiencing not only just love, but a love story from God. It's a story in your life. And it's an active story. And His name is Jesus. And we celebrate this week, some 2,000 years ago, of Him walking into Jerusalem for the final week. Awesome. But do you know something that really, really amazes me in this? You got to think about it. That Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, that instant was the first time beyond time that Jesus was separated from God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Had to be a separation. And Jesus said, "Father, I got to go down to do this because Larry can't handle it. Randy can't handle it. The human race can't handle it. So I'm going to go down, Father." But it, from the human standpoint, that separation, it was so traumatic to the Son of God that He cried out. Now here's what He said. Here's your Aramaic on that. "Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Daddy, why you, having all the power of the universe, of all that exists, and you would hear your child cry out, 'Daddy, Daddy'?" Do you know what it took for God to hold back? Because His Son had told Him, "Father, I have to do this. The Sunday's coming." How powerful that love, that interaction. But Jesus was showing you the pain that He was dying for. "I'm taking the pain of this type of death separation so you'll never feel it. I'm conquering death that it no longer will have power over you." Because God loves us, Jesus shared in man's humanity. Hebrews 2:14. "Since the children," that's us, "have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil." He had to. Because death came through the man Adam, meaning because of Adam's sin, life would have to come through the man Christ Jesus. But only because God loves us. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die once, so in Christ all will be made alive." No, my friends, when you close your eyes in death, as the world calls it, you're already there with your Savior.
Amen.
You're already there. Count on it. Count it right now. Count you as already being there. That's how Jesus looks at you. He sees you perfected. You see yourself with so many flaws, and we got them. But that's what that last week was for. Because God loves us, there had to be the last week in Jerusalem for Jesus as flesh and blood. The Son of the Most High God paused as he drew near to Jerusalem, and Jesus wept. When he got near Jerusalem, he looked and Jesus wept. Luke 19, 41, 42, "For as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day," what a day, "the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." To the Jewish nation, his people, he said, "I offered myself to you." You know what their problem was? They wanted the ritual. They wanted the worship. But they refused to share God with the world. And that was their purpose. God's people was to take the word, to take the truth, tell the story about the Messiah to come. Tell this story before it ever came about. That's fine. We'll tell our family, but nobody else. "If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Could its tears be because of those who would not accept his peace? The peace that was sent from his Father? These overly educated folks knew all that was in the books, but they knew nothing about the heart, the love of the human race. Jesus entered Jerusalem for all the right reasons. This is a story. But many who came out to see him came for the wrong reason. See it all the time. But because God loves us, Jesus went into Jerusalem anyway. John 12, 12 through 13. "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. While they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna, save us now! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" John 12, 17 and 18. "Therefore the people..." Now listen to this sad story. "Therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb," he raised the dead, "and raised him from the dead, bore witness." And listen, "for this reason, the people also met him." They wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. That's why they went. Not from their heart. They wanted the visual effects. "Because they heard that he had done this sign." That's why they came out. It's not the visual effect, my friend. Oh, there's plenty of them. But it's the love effect. When you say yes to Jesus, you accepted the love of your life. You've accepted all the love you'll ever need in life. Then you got it just fine. But you gotta give it away. You gotta love the unlovable. You gotta reach out beyond what you can imagine. Well, you sort of gotta present love the way Jesus did. He died because he loves you. And you know what he tells you to do? I want you to live because I love you. What is our reason for going out to see Jesus? Why have we come out? Why do we come to worship? Do we come to welcome Jesus and His love? Or is there another reason? Folks, I want you to know, I don't care what reason you came here today, but I want to tell you the truth about your life. Jesus Christ loves you so much that He has offered to forgive all your sins, everything that has ever taken place. He says, I find you guilty, but I take your guilt. Man, that's love in action. Love someone. Share that love and be at peace with yourself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the stories that you give us about our existence, about your power and your great love. Help us now, Father, that we might share your truth, be a part of your truth, and extend such love to those around us. Father, we know now that love truly hurts. And we thank you, Father, that you loved us enough to truly hurt for us. We ask for you to touch our life now in Jesus' name. Amen.